You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yeah, and Tim Peake said not to mention him ever again on the podcast, which I thought was pretty harsh. But oh, it started. Hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. It's the Champions League quarterfinal second legs and the Europa League quarterfinal second legs as well. My name's Lee Phelps, back for the second time in 2 weeks, like a bus that you've been waiting for. Alex Dunn, a more regular on the podcast scene, is with me again to try and pick out some winners for the second legs, which are all eight of them are poised.
They are. I don't think I've ever been described as a more regular bus before, but that's okay.
It's not an insult, is it? No. Maybe. I meant it in the sense of, you know, when you wait for a bus and it takes ages to come and then two come along.
Yeah, and here we are again.
It's like the number 32.
It's becoming a regular Monday haunt for us, because we're the only people that can be bothered to turn up. So
especially on a bank holiday.
I know.
To be fair, Dave Callender is working.
He's very hungover, though. Naughty, Dave. Naughty. I'd never do that.
No, I have never done that.
Nor have you.
No, you just take the days off. You're sensible about it. Look ahead. Plan ahead. We've got four Champions League quarterfinal second legs then. Two on Tuesday, two on Wednesday. Then we'll look at the Manchester United second leg in Europa League on Thursday in detail. Let's start it all off, shall we, with Leicester City's home tie against Atletico Madrid. All of these games qualify for Four Means More, by the way. And you can get your own bets by tweeting in hashtag your odds to @WilliamHill. If you fancy something that's not priced up by us, ask the traders. And if they can price it up, they will do. So go onto Twitter and send in your bet with the hashtag your odds to @WilliamHill. We may look at a few of those as we go through. But let's start off with this Leicester City game. Then we said in the first leg, Alex, that we thought Atletico would win the first leg, and we were proved right. I think we both thought that Leicester might get a goal. We thought maybe Atletico would get more than one. And the way this is shaped up for the second leg, just in the 90 minutes, is Leicester 11-4 to win the game. The draw is 11-5, and Atletico are 11-10. To qualify, Leicester 9-2. Atletico are 1-8. The Foxes' home record in the Champions League is impressive. Four straight home wins, conceding one goal, scoring six of them. The Sevilla win was a hard-fought one, though, with luck on their side. I think you pointed that out last week when we talked about this as a complete tie. They won 2-0, but they did ride their luck somewhat. Atletico have won 28 of the UEFA competition ties when they've won the first leg, including each of the last 16. So they tend to get the job done. They've kept seven clean sheets in the last nine games in all competitions, conceding just two goals. It's no winning three for Leicester, but since losing to Chelsea and Man United 3-0 at home on both occasions in January and February, they've won six straight at home in all comps. My worry for Leicester here is that, all right, they did it against Sevilla, and we know the crowd is going to be magnificent. We know it's going to be an unbelievable night, and that may well lift the players. But for me, Atletico Madrid are a bit too long in the tooth to make a mistake here. I think they'll do a job on Leicester.
They sort of did a job on Leicester in the first leg, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In the first few minutes, Jamie Vardy got in behind the Atleti defence. And from there on in, Atleti almost defended with a sweeper and a centre-back, because no one else was attacking.
No.
So they just had to make sure that there were no gaps in behind. And that isn't doing a job as such, because there was no other attacking threat in the game, really, from Leicester. But I've got to say, I was quite impressed with Leicester.
Mm.
Because Atleti were the better side, let's make no bones about it. But their goal shouldn't have been a penalty. It was outside the box.
Yep.
And yes, Atleti deserved to win. But no, I was very, very keen on Atleti pre-match. I fancied them minus a goal, which of course didn't land. I think I tipped them up to win the whole thing, because I saw this as almost a buy into the next round.
Yeah.
I don't see it like that anymore. And I think it's priced up disrespectfully to Leicester, in my opinion, in the second leg.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I can see why you'd say that, because we've seen this Leicester story, haven't we? And we've said no, not this time, no. And we've kind of said that again about the reverse leg, but we were both talking about the to qualify price. You don't know what's going to happen in this home leg. But I do think that they're a bit too wily to be caught unawares. Sevilla probably got caught unawares by it. They've had the benefit of seeing one of their, you know, their compatriots fall at that hurdle, go to Leicester and fall at that hurdle. Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean. I think that, you know, I can see why people might be attracted by the 11-4, but you'll sweat for it. And when you think about Atletico, that I think they'll back themselves to score a goal, Alex. And that's the kill, that's the clincher. If they score an away goal, Leicester need to get two.
Three.
Yeah, win by two. Sorry. Yeah, win by two. Sorry.
I know it's. I think Leicester do it though.
Do you really?
I can't.
What?
First things first, I cannot back Atleti at 11-10 as an outright for this match. Not a hope. I think that is dreadful.
Draw.
Possibly.
Yeah. But you've got to go 9-2 Leicester qualify then, have you? Or you just think they'll win the match?
I think if you're going to back Leicester to win the match, you probably back them to qualify. But look, markets that I liked. I like Leicester to qualify 9-2. And when I say liked, it's tentative. It's more. I don't understand why Atleti are so short. If you watched the first leg, you saw that Atleti were the better side, but not embarrassingly so.
Mm-hmm.
And away from home, Atleti are not as good as they are at home. Now, I know that you can look at Atleti's away form and go, well, hang on. The last time they lost on the road was mid-December. But they've drawn a lot of games in that time. Granted, a draw would be fine here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that a draw is beyond the realms of possibility. I just don't think Atleti go here and win. Leicester's home form has been really good, particularly since Shakespeare took over. I think I'm right in saying he's won every game at home. I'm trying to think the first game that he took over. It was.
Yeah.
It was before the Liverpool.
Yeah, there's an FA Cup game that they drew, but they won in the end.
I'm not sure if that was him anyway.
Oh, it might not have been,
no. Maybe. No, it wasn't, because the Sevilla first leg was. Anyway, Shakespeare is very good at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Leicester,
very good in Stratford-upon-Avon as well.
It's solid, yeah. So I've heard. Creative.
Excellent, yeah.
13-8 Leicester draw no bet would appeal in the 90 minutes market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or even Leicester plus a goal is 7-10. You're getting towards the same price as Atleti are there. Getting towards, it's not the same.
Yeah.
You sort of, if you are looking for a shorter price to maybe put in a fourfold for the Champions League or maybe a fivefold to get the ACCA 5 up, I think I'm looking for a pro Leicester bet.
Okay.
If nothing else, just as a price play. It wouldn't surprise me at all, and I know I put Atleti, I made a really strong case for them last week, and if you listen to this, you're going, is this the same guy? Is this the same guy that was...
Yeah, he's had Easter since. You had a few chocolate eggs and all.
Yeah, that's true.
Stuff,
yeah. So. But I think Leicester are worth a play here at a big, big, big price.
Okay. Vardy's 19-10 to score any time. Obviously been in really good nick recently in the Premier League and for his country as well. Hasn't scored many goals in the Champions League, but 19-10 for a player who does love the big occasion might be attractive to some people.
Possibly. And one stat for you. All of Atleti's away defeats this season, there haven't been loads of them, but when they have lost on the road, they've been to nil. Every single one of them in all competitions.
Interesting.
So, again, if Leicester are going to win, maybe it's to nil. And if they win to nil, well, to qualify at 9-2 is looking hunky-dory, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
Worst-case scenario is extra time if they win to nil. So,
yeah.
Just worth a look. It's a massive price, that 9-2. I'd have it considerably shorter, I have to say. They're going to make a good fist of this.
Good luck to Leicester, and it'd be fantastic to see them in the semi-finals. Real Madrid are leading 2-1 against Bayern Munich from the first leg. So two away goals they grabbed in Germany. And remember, they didn't have a great record in Germany up until then. This is the most played European fixture, as we said to you last week. And Bayern Munich have got to go some to get over the top of Real Madrid. Goals guaranteed, you'd think. Ronaldo popped up with his 100th UEFA club competition goal. He's got 97 in the Champions League. That's from the group stages right through to the finals. In terms of Bayern, Lewandowski's back. He's got 46 in 45 for club and country. Bayern aren't in the greatest of form now when you look at the form figures. They've won one of the last four. They drew 0-0 with Bayer Leverkusen on Saturday, but their eyes will have been squarely on this game, no doubt. I would suggest, Alex, that two away goals is too much for a team like Real Madrid, who've scored in 54 successive games. You have to say that they're going to score here. And with two away goals, that means Bayern have got to do so much. You know, I expect both teams to score. I think both teams have scored in all nine of Real Madrid's last nine Champions League games. They can win, they can draw, or they can lose 1-0 and Real Madrid are through. Anything else, then it's looking like those away goals will be priceless for them.
We said that they were too big in Germany, and it didn't look likely at times in that game. And obviously Arturo Vidal's penalty was woefully... Well, I think it's still going. but Rail to qualify 2-7's all right. It's short, obviously, and I'm not going to tip it up. But if you are, it's not the worst. Because, look, the thing is, Rail will score here. And they'll let one in as well, but their scoring power's too much. What you can guarantee is Rail won't sit back and go, right, go on then, come and attack us, because we're going to defend this out.
No way they're going
to
do that.
Firstly, they don't know how to, and secondly, if they did try, it would probably end catastrophically. Yeah. I think that basically just any goals market in this game. Now, Rail have played, firstly, they've played 23 games already this calendar year, Real Madrid. That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
And in those 23, 21 of them have been over 2.5 goals, which is phenomenal, really. And of course, as you alluded to, both teams to score, obviously, a play. Now, over 2.5 in this is 4-11. Very short, but very likely to land. Even money, though, for over 3.5. Well, I'm all right with that, to be honest. You would need a goal in the first half, but I think you'll get at least one.
Yeah, there's an interesting bet here just on that. Both teams to score in the first half was 9-4, now 5-2 under the enhanced odds banner. I could see that. I mean, I was just looking at Real Madrid's first half scoring record, and they tend to, in their games, there tends to be goals in the first half. Obviously, Bayern opened the scoring in the first half. Napoli opened the scoring in the first half of the game in the last round away from home. Napoli and Real Madrid both scored in the first half of the game in Spain. They scored in the 28th minute against Borussia Dortmund, 29th minute at Sporting, the first minute and the 35th at Legia Warsaw. And it keeps going back and back and back. So early goals are a thing that Real Madrid do very often. And you wouldn't be surprised if Bayern have to come out of the blocks firing, don't they?
Well, it's interesting as well that you were saying that the Napoli game in the previous leg. In the last three Champions League games that they've played, so the two against Napoli and the Bayern game, the first leg, I should say, Real have been a goal down inside 25 minutes in all three of those games, and they've won all three of those games in the end, and in the second half, Real minus one has landed.
Right, yeah.
So they clearly warm up as the game goes on and as defences get tired. Look, Bayern are going to have to go for this, and Bayern do have a fair bit of attacking talent. Let's make no bones about it. They can go here and have a go. But they'll leave gaps at the back. Real will punish them. Any kind of goals bet, I cannot put you off. Even the ones that normally you'd go, that's crazy. I don't like that one. Any kind of goals bet.
Yeah.
Over 5.5 is 5-1. I'd be surprised if there's maybe that many, but still, it's not the worst.
I know what you mean.
Both teams to score 7-20. Fine. Look, these are short prices, some of them.
Yeah.
But
both score, no draw is 17-20.
Not the worst.
Very rare that you see a draw in Bayern Munich's games. Mm. I was looking at the stats, by the way, that Opta send us, and there's some. I could have just sat here and read the stats out. Let me just read a few of them. Real Madrid have never failed to score in the last 34 Champions League home games. It's the longest ever run in the competition. Real Madrid have scored a minimum 2 goals in each of the 9 Champions League games this season. Also failed to keep a single clean sheet in those 9 games. That was the both teams to score stat. Messed up a little bit earlier on.
And the over 2.5.
Yeah. Bayern Munich conceded 12 shots on target in the first leg against Real, more than in any other Champions League game since Opta analysis began in 2003-2004. That's staggering. That Bayern Munich are the team who conceded the most shots. Ronaldo has scored 100 goals in European competition, as we know. First player to reach the landmark. In the knockout stages, he scored 0.72 goals per game, 46 and 64. That's a better rate than in the group stages. So he actually scores a better rate just in the knockout stages. And Bayern Munich have only kept 1 clean sheet in the last 8 Champions League matches. So, like you say, goals. There have to be goals in this game.
And which
you can't concede that this is, you know, concede this is anything other than at least over 2.5.
It's going to be interesting because I have to confess, I watched the first leg of Atleti Leicester, not Real against Bayern. But I've got a decision to make now on Tuesday night. Which of those two do you watch?
I think it has to be. I think this is set up to be an absolute classic.
It's like
a boxing match where they're just going to have to go in there toe-to-toe. There's not going to be any feeling out because they can't do that. Bayern Munich have to score goals.
Do you remember Real Madrid against Man U? This is going back. When 2002-03. I was at my best friend Luke Harper's house.
Hey, Luke.
It was his birthday. We'd been to see Eight-Legged Freaks, and then we came back, and my other friend Tom Mackay had too much at the Pizza Hut buffet. And ended up being sick as we were watching Man U Real Madrid.
Ah, good so you times. Weren't drinking those days?
I was 10 or 11, so yes.
Yeah, so definitely Pizza Hut.
Copious amounts, yeah. but that's they keep showing that game on Sky. I can't remember what year it was, but Real beat Man U in the first leg, and then the second leg, it was when Beckham was still at
yes,
Man U.
Yes, I remember.
Beckham,
I think,
might come off the bench, and old Ronaldo, fat Ronaldo, was key for Real. It could be a game like that, where they are just two very, very good sides going at each other with not a care in the world defensively. I hope it is. Any goals markets play. The tip will be over 3.5 goals, even money, as the number one selection. But any market where we've got the win and overs or draw and overs yeah. for either sides, any of those, as far as I'm concerned, are well worth a look in this game. And as I said, the 23 games Real have played this year, 21 have been over 2.5. The two that weren't were against Espanyol, so you kind of go, oh, okay. And the other one was against Atleti, who, as we know, are defensively very, very sound. Mm-hmm. So goals, goals, goals.
Yeah, interestingly, on the match markets there, 7-5 Real Madrid, draw 5-2, Bayern 9-5. Just underneath, you've got your qualifying markets, 2-7 Madrid, 5-2 Bayern Munich. Then you've got the to win in extra time. So if Bayern Munich obviously get a 2-1 win, they will take it into extra time. Real Madrid to win in extra time, 22-1, Bayern a 20-1. And to win on penalties, Madrid 40s, Bayern Munich 40s as well. Good luck, whatever you select in that one. On Wednesday night, Monaco take on Dortmund, leading 3-2. Three away goals from that much-changed first leg game. Of course, the shocking scenes on Tuesday night, and Dortmund played the game on Wednesday, maybe against their wishes, as we've seen, but it turned out to be a cracking game. You've got to have some sympathy for Dortmund. I think everyone loves Dortmund, don't they, basically?
Yeah.
In the world, yeah. Apart from other Bundesliga fans, but around Europe, I think they're one of the favourite teams in Europe for non-German people. After last week's shocking events, they go to France, and they've just got it all to do here. They are the competition's top scorers, 27 goals in 9 games, 30% of their goals come in the last 15 minutes, incidentally, and their games have produced 40 goals, so they've conceded 13 as well. Monaco have conceded 15 goals. That makes them the worst defence in the quarterfinals. They've got to win by 2 clear goals, unless it's 3-2. Mm. Or better, obviously, Dortmund. So much like the way we were talking about the Real Madrid Bayern Munich game, Dortmund have to go for this, and that's what they do anyway. There have to be goals in this game. You can't see anything else, can you? Because they're going to leave gaps at the back anyway.
It is just going to be you attack, we attack, you attack, we attack. Monaco don't know any other way of playing as well. I was surprised to see Monaco at the price that they are in this game. As the outsiders, if
9-5,
yeah. The 2-7 to qualify. I think Monaco will go through. Let's not pretend that last week didn't happen. It's going to have a huge effect on Dortmund. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean the effects of what happened pre-match,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And it is a very tricky one to call off the back of that, because you know that if both sides turn up here in flying form, you're going to have a great game. Mm-hmm. I still think we'll have a great game, but it will be tinged with a bit of sort of what might have been, particularly for Dortmund, and you can't help but feel sorry for them. But the way that Monaco attack and go forwards, they have to be considered here. We mentioned on last week's podcast, Kylian Mbappe, he managed to score last week. He is a phenomenal talent, and he's 7-5 any time, and I don't really understand why he's that price when you consider that Aubameyang's 3-4 in the same game.
Yeah.
If pushed again, I'd say that both are likely to score. We put it up last week. Aubameyang didn't notch, but again, you could look at that. Mbappe to score, Monaco to win in 90 minutes, pushed out from 17-5 to 4-1. Well worth a look on the enhanced odds, as far as I'm concerned. But once again, let's just play the goals, because frankly, I don't care which way this goes, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I think Monaco should go through. I'd love Dortmund, after what happened last week, to rally around and manage to come back. It would be a fantastic story.
Yeah.
I can't quite see it happening, but of Monaco's last 20 home games in all competitions, 19 of them have been over 2.5 goals. Pretty similar story to what I was saying about the Real and Bayern stat. Of course, by the time that these two players, by the time that Monaco and Dortmund play, Real and Bayern will, of course, have played. So it might be that if you're listening to InPlay Radio, you're listening to this and going, well, he's just said goals like in the Real game, and that was 0-0 last night. Well, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best. But over 2.5, 1-3, short, really short, but banker to land. But again, over 3.5 is 10-11. it's well worth a look. But I can't get away from Monaco in the 90 minutes prices at 9-5. It will turn into just a who can score more.
Yeah.
And I'd never want to back against Monaco, particularly this season, in the who can score more stakes.
No.
The fact that they're 9-5 is tempting. But you may as well, whatever you're backing, back match result in both teams to score. So Monaco pushed out from 9-5 to 11-4 when you factor in both teams scoring. That'll do for me.
Yeah. I really like the first half goals. As over 1.5 is even money. And you look at both these teams. I mean, obviously only Monaco scored in the first half in the first leg, but they scored two. Borussia Dortmund scored in the fourth minute against Benfica. They scored in the 28th minute. Real Madrid scored in the 28th minute against them early in the competition. Against Legia Warsaw when it was 8-4, there were loads of goals in the first half, and so it goes back. And it's the same for both teams. Both teams not only score but also concede early in games. So I can see that being a real life player. Over 1.5 at even money. It might even be one of those where you play it in, go and play, don't play it pre-match. Let the game kick off, give it a few minutes, and then back it, because it'll definitely be better than even money once the game kicks off and the clock starts ticking. So maybe give it 5 or 10 minutes, and then you'll be able to back it maybe around the kind of 11 to 10, maybe even 11 to 8 mark if you're sat there hovering until you think it's time to go. But I agree with Alex on that one. Has to be goals, surely. The fourth of the quarterfinal second legs this midweek is Barcelona 0, Juventus 3. Talk about giving yourself a mountain to climb again. After Barca trailed 4-0 to PSG and miraculously turned it round, winning 6-1 at home, they would have thought, yeah, let's not get ourselves into that situation again. And lo and behold, that's exactly what they've gone and done here. This is a much harder proposition now, because Juve have got the best defence in the Champions League, conceding just 2 goals in the comp. The omens are good at home. Luis Enrique's team has won all 15 home Champions League games since he took over. Messi, incidentally, is 2 goals off 500 for Barcelona. He got 2 at the weekend against Real Sociedad to take him to 498. So that would be some landmark if he could get that. In this game, 8 of the last 9 Juve goals have been scored by Higuain or Dybala. Higuain's got 8, Dybala's got 2, but he picked up a bit of an ankle knock, the latter, so doubtful whether he'll play. The match betting, 8-15 Barca, draw 16-5. Juve 5-1, Juventus are 1-7 to qualify, Barcelona 4-1. Put simply, Juve don't really, I mean, I know it's dangerous to say this, but they can play their normal game and they should be safe. Just don't go mad.
Yeah.
Well, don't go mad. Don't go crazy and do anything stupid.
They are the perfect side for this game.
Yeah.
In that they are very, very solid defensively, and it goes without saying, they should not be losing this. As in, qualifying, they've got to go through.
Yeah, but do we think that about PSG? I mean, we wouldn't have been as sure about PSG.
Well, yeah, but they had an extra goal as well, PSG. Yeah. That was incredible. But again, you could see Barca PSG being a goal fest.
Yeah.
You can't really see this one kicking off. The thing for me is, and Barca defensively are pretty poor, but I just don't really see Juve scoring here.
Right,
I think Barca will be camped in the Juve half throughout, but they just won't break through as much as they'd like.
What if, let's just have a look. I mean, they've got a great away record in the Champions League this season, haven't they? 4-0 at Dinamo Zagreb, 1-0 at Lyon, 3-1 at Sevilla, 2-0 at Porto. You know, right, none of those teams are absolute, you know, stellar teams, but you know, Porto and Sevilla aren't the easiest places to go, you would say. So they're a good team, they can score goals. There's a danger in that, though, isn't it, Alex? Because if you sit back, even if you are Juve, and you sit back and Barcelona do recreate that kind of performance they got at PSG, or that atmosphere they got, and they get one in the first half, say, and then if they get another, then you do start to get nervy, because if they get three, then suddenly it's game on, and obviously, you know, it's all level, and there's no away goals to speak of just yet, unless Juve get one. If Juve get an away goal, tie is over, you would have to say, wouldn't you?
Yes, but again, you just said that about the PSG game.
But they're not as watertight at the back as Juve.
No.
So if Juve do try and go out and get an away goal, they might be comfortable enough to think, look, let's just play our normal game, let's try and get an away goal, and then we're done. If we sit back and they score early, that's going to make everyone nervous.
Could Barca win this 4-0? Yes. They could.
They could. But that'd be, I mean, jeez.
It's 18-1, by the way, if you think they will.
While you're talking, I'm just going to find the last time Juve conceded 4 away from home.
Could Barca win this 2-0? Yes. I think we're all agreed that would be a likely scoreline in a game like this. Could Barca win 3-0? Also, maybe. The thing is, I just don't see Juve scoring here.
I mean, Inter beat Juve 3-0 in the Coppa Italia, but I think... yeah, they beat him 3-0, didn't they, in the Coppa Italia? That was in March of last year. I'm still trawling back to find when anyone put four past
them. What about that Bayern game?
That was after extra time. Yeah, 2-2, I think, wasn't it, in normal time? Mm.
Yeah, but records are there to be broken.
Absolutely.
But no, look, I'm trying to make a case for Barca here, purely because I don't... If you back...
Fiorentina scored four against them, but they got two.
That was in
2013.
Yeah. I just think... I don't want to bat Juve to qualify at sevens on.
No.
There will be better sevens on shots out there. And I'm not massively tempted by Barca to qualify at 4-1, but I'll tell you what I am tempted by. Firstly, Barca to win in 90 minutes at 8-15 is great. That's fantastic. They will win this match. They may not go through, but they will win the match. And 8-15 is fine if you haven't an accumulator. Mm-hmm. Stick it in. Barca and under 2.5 goals is 18-5. That would not be satisfactory for Barca to go through. But if I don't think that Juve are going to score, and I'm saying it's unlikely that Barca will go through, then that sort of puts them both together. Barca under 2.5 is 18-5. The thing I'm going to put up here, though, Lee, goes against what I've just said there, the Barca under 2.5, by the way. That's right. Purely a sort of amalgamation of thoughts.
Yeah.
Barca to win in extra time, 16-1.
Wow, so they win 3-0.
Basically, it's a 3-0 and then go on from there.
Right, yeah, okay.
Now, the 3-0, by the way, is 11-1. You may just want to back that at 11-1 because what if it goes to extra time and then they let a goal in extra time and then they're stuffed, basically. But they could do this, you know. And again, if you listened to last week's podcast and you heard me tip up Atleti and Juve, and then on this podcast I've completely gone against both of them. They got the job done as expected in the first legs, but Juve do not have to win this, and they will not set out to win this game at the Nou Camp. They'll go there for damage limitations, if you like. Mm-hmm. So the 8-15 on Barca is fine. I just think Barca could, if you're looking for a bet for interest, Barca to win extra time 16-1 must play for interest.
Yeah. The last time that Juventus lost 4-0 away from home was February 2004, when they lost to Roma.
It's a while back.
Yeah, it is a while back, yeah.
I was 12. That's ironically just before...
That game.
The aforementioned...
Tim Manu Peak.
I got it up. No, not Tim Peak. Oh, shut up, you. 2003, that was, the Manu Real Madrid game, by the way, for fans of time. 23rd of April, the day before Luke's birthday, if you're listening, Luke.
Happy birthday. A lot of mentions.
It's your birthday in a week.
He's getting more mentions than Tim Peake did last time. Alex has been talking about there, I think this applies to both Wednesday games. The four means more offer that William Hill puts up is well worth bearing in mind. You don't have to do anything as long as you're having a bet on the three of the main markets, which is the match result on both teams to score and both teams to score markets. If you have a bet on those in this game or in the Monaco Dortmund game, and there happens to be four or more goals, then you will automatically get a nice little bonus paid on top of your winnings, which everyone likes to see. To be fair, when you're not having to do any work for it, 25% free bet bonus on your winnings if you bet on match betting, both teams to score, match result, or both teams to score, and there are four or more goals in the match.
Who wants a stat?
I always want a stat, Alex.
Okay, well, here's one, and it has absolutely no bearing on anything that's happening this week. But
oh, great.
Stats are fun. And I don't want Dave Kellner nicking this one on the regular punt. So, Marcus Rashford scored for Manchester United against Chelsea on Sunday. You all remember it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the earliest Premier League goal that Chelsea have conceded since December 2013, when Martin Skrtel scored for Liverpool against them. That's incredible. Chelsea have gone, what, nearly 4 years? 3.5 years without conceding a goal inside the first 7 minutes of a game.
I'm struggling to find why this is remarkable. That's quite early in the game, though.
But still.
How many teams do you think have conceded goals that early? It's quite rare when you get goals that early, isn't it?
In the first 7 minutes of a game?
Yeah.
But for how many games is that for Chelsea in the Premier League? Over 100 games?
Yeah.
I was shocked. I think that's really good.
How many goals do you think Newcastle have conceded in the first 7 minutes in that time frame?
more than 50. We're rubbish. No, but I just think it's...
Yeah, fair enough.
If you think on... When you're watching Soccer Saturday or listening to William Hill's In-Play Radio...
Yeah, which is what I do.
Yeah. There's early goals.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, against Watford. How would you price up a Premier League 3 p.m. let's say the 6 3 p.m. kickoffs, how would you price up goal in the first 7 minutes in any of those games?
It depends who's playing though, doesn't it? I mean, if it's Chelsea and they've got a fantastic defensive record, if it's Watford, or, you know, I might be harsh on Watford, but if it's Sunderland at home, I'd think, yeah, I can definitely see a goal in the first 5 minutes. But for Chelsea, I'm not that surprised.
Well, tweet in, right, I'm at AlexDunn0307. You are what, at Lee Phelps?
Yes.
Right, just let us know who's right here. Am I right to be? I'm not like saying it's. I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I just think it was quite good. Fine. I'm just trying to bring a bit of colour to the podcast. But no,
just tweet in if you like it. Clap stat.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, crap stat.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Europa League quarterfinal second legs on Thursday night. We have Besiktas versus Lyon, Schalke versus Ajax, Genk versus Celta Vigo, and Man United versus Anderlecht. The games are poised like this. Lyon go to Besiktas with a 2-1 lead. Ajax have got a 2-0 lead going to Schalke. Celta Vigo lead 3-2 going to Genk. And of course, Man United have got a 1-1 draw going into the second leg of their game. Jose Mourinho wasn't especially happy after that first leg. 1-1 draw. He was critical of the finishing, and I know a lot of Man United fans were critical of that as well, and kind of even calling for Ibrahimovic to go and to allow, you know, kind of fresh talent to come through because he needs too many chances to score all the goals that he's scoring, etc., etc. I imagine a lot of that has probably been forgotten about because they've then since beaten Chelsea. I said last week, Alex, I expected Manchester United to have a very strong finish to the season, including winning this competition. And I have, even though they only drew 1-1 at Anderlecht, I don't change my mind on that at all. I still think they will win this competition or go very, very close, and I still think they'll have a pretty good end to the season, as that Chelsea game has demonstrated. They're 2-7 to win this at Old Trafford. The draw's 4-1. Anderlecht are 11-1. They win this, don't they?
Yeah.
And get through.
Yeah. And the thing is, Zlatan won't have been... Well, there's two ways of looking at the fact that Ibrahimovic didn't play against Chelsea. One is he needed a rest, and Mourinho has clearly shown that he's prioritising this Europa League now.
Yeah.
Basically, it's what he sees as perhaps the easiest or the best way for Manchester United to get into the Champions League next year, which is fine, fair enough. But that's just interesting from a betting perspective that he's not going to be resting players in the Europa League. He's probably going to be resting them in the Premier League now.
Yeah.
That was point number one. Point number two is the fact that Man U look really good without Zlatan. Perhaps,
yeah.
I said long term, he's not going to be around for years anyway, but just something to consider. I expect him to come back into the team here, though. He's 13 to 20 to score any time. It's very short. But, and the thing is, that he's 12 to 5 to score first. He will score in this game, though.
You think?
I'm very, very confident that he will score in this game. So it's whether you want what I would consider I don't want to say surefire winner, because they always come back to haunt you, those words, don't they? But 13 to 20 for a surefire winner, yeah, fine. Well, you know. But at the same time, it is very short. I understand that.
Mm.
2 or more, 11 to 4, maybe could get involved with that. But I don't think there's going to be many goals in this game. I think Man U keep a clean sheet, and that is the crux of the matter. If Man U keep a clean sheet, they go through. They've already got the away goal. So they will be defensively resolute. They always are anyway. The most Anderlecht can score in this game is 1, as far as I'm concerned, but I don't think they'll get any. And Man U will go through. Now, you're looking for a bit more value, because all I've given you there is Man U to win at 2-7 and Man U to qualify at 12s on. Man U win to nil is 17 to 20. That'll do nicely for me. Or Man U and under 2.5 goals, which is basically giving you 1-0 and 2-0 Dutched, 9-4. That would be the selection I'd go for in this. I do think United win. I think Ibrahimovic scores. It's just trying to find that, you know, little bit of value. It is difficult. For Man U to win and Zlatan to score first is 14-5, but you may as well just back him to score first at 12-5 for the difference in price, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not easy. What about Man U to win 2-0 and Zlatan to score?
I like that.
Any time, 19-2 or first 16-1.
That's what I was looking at. I like the Man United to win under 2.5.
That would be the...
I think they'll do a job on them.
The sensible selection, 1-0 or 2-0, nice and comfortable. But if you are looking for just a little bit more value, I really strongly think that Zlatan will score. But for an any time price, he just isn't one.
No. Very good. And all being well, by this point, we'll have seen Leicester get through. And then Manchester United will be in the semi-finals as well.
That would be just lovely.
It would be lovely. And people listening to this now will be going, you idiot. Yeah. You lost 4-0. What's your best bet of the week? Have you got one?
I can have one. Best bet would be... Oh, it's some... Man U to nil, probably. 17-20.
Yeah.
But I really like everything I've put up, to be honest, this week. Apart from Leicester, that game I wasn't sure about.
Yeah, so that's just kind of, you know...
That's a price play more than anything. But goals in Real and Dortmund games and Barca to just beat Juve. In fact, you could put a little acca together of...
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to do this right now, Lee. Phil, sing for me.
I think the... look at the champion... I'm not going to sing. I think the Champions League game, a couple of... Well, definitely the Dortmund game and the Barcelona game are primed for... And overs kind of treble if you stick in the Real Madrid one as well. I think you could even have a little bit of a chance and go over 3.5 treble in those games because I think they have to go for it.
I'm playing a safe fivefold. That's what I'm going to go for here. We'll start with Leicester plus a goal at 7-10. I do like Leicester this week. Yeah. I think they've got a chance. Over 2.5 in Real against Bayern. That is 2-5. Over 2.5 in Monaco against Dortmund. That is 1-3. Mm-hmm. These are short. Don't get me wrong. They're short. Then we've got, what's the other game? Barca Juve, of course. Mm-hmm. Barca just on the outrights, 8-15. And then we'll take Manu on the outrights as well.
Okay.
That's a sensible acca, I would say.
Okay.
Leicester are the risky one there, aren't they?
If that's anything Leicester above 5-1, I'd be keen on that.
5.09-1. And it qualifies for acca 5 because none of them are bigger than 1-5. 1-5? Yeah, it is 1-5, isn't it? So 7-10, Leicester plus a goal. Over 2.5 in Real against Bayern and Monaco Dortmund at 4-11 and 3s on, respectively. Barca to beat Juve, 90-minute betting at 8-15. And Manu to beat Anderlecht, 90-minute betting at 2-7. I like that.
Good luck, Alex.
Thanks.
Thanks very much for your time. Enjoy the Champions League football this midweek and the Europa League. Derek, Tom and DK will be back for the Premier League punt this weekend. If you haven't bet on any of the Champions League action or the Europa League, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.